Well, today is Vision Sunday. Hallelujah. I love this passage of God's Word found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time." Notice that. Taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Man, that is an incredible verse of Scripture. And let me give you another one. This one is in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 54. And in verse 2, Isaiah 54, 2, it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes." These are great verses that deal with vision. And I want to ask you a question, because based upon these two verses, God has a vision for you. Based upon these two verses. Now, we could probably be here till noon giving more statements and more validation from God's Word and pertaining to the plans and the purpose that God has for every one of us. But God has a vision for you. So the second part of that question is, do you have a vision for you? I hope that by the time we conclude today that you will. Because God has a vision for you. Jesus has a vision to build the church. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus has a vision to build the church. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then He told the disciples, "And I give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus has a vision to build the church. So I have another question. Do you have that vision as well? Hallelujah. Jesus has a vision to build the church. I must have that vision also. See, the vision to build the church is all about building people. How many of you realize that? Amen. We're not talking about construction projects. Oh, sure, we're always doing something. You know, trying to create space and make things look better. And I mean, that's just all part of the building maintenance. But Jesus wasn't talking about buildings. He was talking about building people. The vision to build the church is all about building people. Think about this. Jesus built the lives of 12 disciples who then built the lives of generations. I love Ephesians 2:20. It declares that we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. See, to have a vision means that you see beyond what is presently existing. Even for your own personal life, you see beyond where you are and you see things better, more wonderful. As the Scripture said that we read in Ephesians 2:10, the good life that God has ordained, what He has prearranged, the paths that He has for every one of us. Hallelujah. So I must have vision because God has a vision for my life. I don't want to miss God's vision for my life. How about you? What about the rest of you? Come on, somebody. Amen. We got to have vision because God has a vision for every one of us because His vision is building the lives of people. Now, you know, we're going to talk about the dynamic of growth and the dynamic of spiritual growth, the dynamic of building people. You know, and growth will always be a stretching experience. How many of you realize that? If you make a commitment to grow, you are going to be stretched. How many of you realize that if you go to the gym to work out, I haven't been to the gym in years. I'm just being honest. I prefer to go to restaurants. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's a good thing. I'm not saying it. You know, it's a good thing to take care of the body. But, you know, I used to do little workout regimens years ago, and then, you know, I got tired of it, tired of the pain. Because when you begin a workout regimen, your muscles stretch, and then they have to be rebuilt. You know, so when we talk about the growth dynamic, growth always means a stretching experience. So in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 2, when he said, you know, enlarge, strengthen, he's talking about a stretching experience. Because growth means we must stretch. God stretches us to grow us. It's all part of His vision. Here's another thing. Man, I love this one. Because Jesus Christ had a vision for the lost. He had a vision for the lost. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Listen to what this says. I quote this verse regularly, and I want to visit with you today. It says in verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. And when he saw the throngs," or he saw the multitudes, "he was moved with pity and sympathy," or compassion, "for them, because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless." My friends, that summarizes the world in which we live. The world in which we live is full of people who are harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. And Jesus said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the spiritual condition of the people, that they are lost. Jesus had a vision for the lost. And if there's one thing that I am praying emphatically for the future of our church, as we move forward in these dark days in which we live, is that God would give every one of us a deep compassion for the lost. Because when you are moved with compassion, you are moved to do something. How many of you know that's the truth? Amen? See, Jesus was moved with compassion, and he was moved to do something because he saw their spiritual condition. So Jesus had a vision for the lost. All right, here's the next thing. Let me give you another example. We're going to go to Luke chapter 4. See, Jesus always took the next steps. See, when you're serving God, there are always next assignments. Vision is always moving to the next assignment. All right, so Jesus illustrated to you and I about taking the next steps. All right, and we find that example in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning in verse 42, and just two verses, verse 42 and verse 43. It says, "Now when it was day, he departed, and he went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them." In other words, they wanted to keep everything just like it was. Do y'all see that? They wanted to keep everything just like it was. It was a comfort zone for them. They wanted to keep him. They were trying to keep him from leaving. His response in verse 43, he says, but he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for there am I sent." He says, "For this purpose I am sent." Jesus was always thinking about the others. Do y'all see that? I mean, this is a wonderful illustration. Jesus took the next steps. He had a vision. He had a vision for the lost, a vision to reach people. He saw them distressed, harassed, dejected. And Jesus, his mission was to do something about it. And I believe as the local church, we should never lose sight of that vision, because we are all participants in it. Now, understand this. The devil will use things in life to sideline us. He does. He'll use things in life to sideline us. And God is always calling us back into the game, because Jesus is always in the game. He's always moving. He's always working. He's always changing lives. And I want to be part of that vision. So here's the next question. What are the next steps for West Point Church? What are the next steps? What does God want us to do? What does he want us to accomplish? Well, the next step, the first one that I'm going to share with you, is for the next generation. Actually, Becky's going to share it with you. But the next step is for the next generation. So I'm going to invite Pastor Becky to come up, and she is going to share with you about the next step for the next generation.
Awesome. Today we're going to talk about next steps for our next generation. And we know that we have some beautiful kids around here. And just as you saw, we had allowed the children already go into children's ministry. But there were actually 49 people who joined church with their children. 49. And so we're just very, very thankful for that. You know, those children are not just simply little kids running around that we sometimes have to correct or sometimes have to corral, but they are part of the faith family of West Point Church as well. And one of the mandates that God has given to Pastor Steve and I is to shepherd those children as well, to train them in the Word of God. And because of that mandate that the Lord has given us, in September, we will begin a new program for our children that begins in pre-K, the West Point Pre-K, West Point Kids, which are now going to be two classes, and the TGIF department, which is our tween department. And that's starting September 2nd. It's going to be called the Gospel Project for Kids. And that is the curriculum that we'll be using. And the goal of that project is to bring kids to the center of what it's all about. And that's Jesus, the eternal Word. We'll be teaching the Word to them, and Jesus is the eternal Word. You see, what the Gospel Project for Children does is it teaches us that there is not hundreds of different stories throughout the Bible, But there is one story, and the story is Jesus. And how does each of those stories relate to our children and back to Jesus? It saturates every part of Scripture that Jesus is the main story of the Bible. You see, the master plan of the Bible is anchored in the intervention that we receive from our Savior. Jesus intervened and he saved us. John 17:14-15 paraphrase says, "The world hates them." The world hates our children. That world system is not for our children. It hates our children because they don't fit in with it. The Bible says, I'm asking you to keep them safe from Satan's power. Jesus said that. I'm asking you, Father, to keep them safe from Satan's power. And we want to partner with what God is doing and wants to do for children. Our children are bombarded in the school systems that they are in with lies, secularism, humanism, Satanism, and so much more. The internet, liberal school slants, media, all are after our children to grab their attention. And if you've ever seen a two-year-old with an iPad or your mama's phone, you understand that they are captivating our children. And as a church, we have to stand for our next generation. And sometimes that involves sacrifice. This is not this morning about you serving, but who is willing to sacrifice what they like to do for salvation of our children and our next generation? So at West Point, we want to surround them with truth so that they can navigate the Word of God in their life. As parents, as family, as leaders, and even as brothers and sisters in Christ to those little children, it's our responsibility to give them a sure-footed, strong foundation. Psalm 78:2-4 says, I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody didn't care that it took 2 hours to prepare a lesson to tell you about Jesus. Somebody was willing to sacrifice a little of their Friday and Saturday time to reach out for you. And that's what the Word tells us. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and about His power and His mighty works. The Word says, and I know that you know this scripture, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And you know that word is for our children as well. If we lift up Jesus in the lives of our children, He is going to draw all men to Him. It's the gospel that changes our children. It's not good behavior. It's not behavior modification. But when they get a hold of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, Their behavior will change, but it will change because their heart has been transformed. Not because they're going to get a spanking or no iPad time or have to sit in a corner, however you discipline your children. It's going to change because Jesus has touched their heart and Jesus has become the center of their world because the gospel changes everything. So the curriculum that we're going to be used, called the Gospel Project for Kids, brings the children through the Bible every 3 years. They will go all the way through the Bible every 3 years. So if your three-year-old child is in West Point Pre-K and they stay at West Point Church and you are faithful bringing your children to the Assembly of the Believers, three times they will go through the Bible, learning its truth and relating that back to Jesus and how Jesus is the center of the Bible. They will go through that three times before they ever walk in. I'm thinking of Chris and Brittany in 12 years. You know, they're probably not going to be the youth pastors in 12 years because we all begin to age. But before they... Before I'm aging, you're going to age. One of these teenagers is going to be probably the youth pastor then. And so y'all do good. The next generation depends on it. But three times, those children that are 3 years old will at least three times, they will go through a methodical, systematic teaching of the scripture. So they will have a strong and sure foundation, right? The Gospel Project is chronological. It goes through the Bible chronologically, and it's Christ-centered from ages 2.5 through their 13th birthday. We have a directive from God to teach our children who are the next generation. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with your soul, with your strength. And these words which I command you today will be in your heart." And here's the end of that command. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." We have three teachers who are, three of our directors are school teachers. So we have wonderful people that work and direct our children's ministry. We want to call them faith trainers because they're not just teaching like you would in school, but they are raising up a generation who believes in Jesus and has faith in his name. And we are giving them now new ammunition. We're saying, go get them. And we're going to teach how the entire Bible is connected and that every story points back. Adam points to Jesus. Moses points to Jesus. Noah points to Jesus. Just think of their stories and how they are stories of salvation and redemption and how we can point that back to Jesus because Jesus is the focus. The love of Jesus and his plan to bridge the gap was a plan to bridge the gap from humanity to deity. And that is the gospel. And so as we begin this journey with our kids, we want you to know we're not striving to modify their behavior. While some of them may need behavior modification, we want to strive to discipline and disciple the next generation for Jesus Christ. When children absorb the fact that Jesus is the real superhero, that he came to rescue them in their world, then they are going to be strong members of the body of Christ. Parents, I give you this charge. We're excited to have this opportunity for the next steps, for the next generation. I encourage you to put effort in your child's Christian education and make it a priority in your family's life. Sundays and Wednesdays, hold on, they're going to be lit at West Point Church.
Lit and legit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Becky, I think you took my outline. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, as you can see, this is a little different Sunday today because we're not really preaching a sermon as we normally would, even though we are preaching. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. So what are the next steps for West Point Church? Next step for the next generation, as Becky just gave us that wonderful presentation. I'll just share this figure with you. It is estimated by those who put together church growth studies and do all of these societal studies that over 80% of people that make a decision for Jesus Christ will do so before they reach the age of 18. Over 80%. Now think about that. Over 80%. Will make a decision for Jesus Christ before they reach age 18. That's why we've got to pour dollars into children's ministries, youth ministries. We've got to touch the next generation because we are only one generation away from losing gospel impact. Think about that. Only one generation. So we cannot drop the ball. We have to focus on the next generation. All right, so what are the next steps? Well, next step number one, next generation. Next step number two, growth and discipleship. Growth and discipleship. And that's what I want to talk to you about next. Because Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all people, right? Now, the word disciple simply means a Christ follower. If you go into the original Greek language, it means a student or an apprentice. You know, so all of us, I mean, I have been serving God now since 1976. And I am still a student. I am a student of God's Word. Because theology, the word theology, from the word for God, Greek word for God, theos. You know, theology is a study of God. How many of you know you can spend a lifetime studying about God and not even come close to the full revelation? Amen? That's what's so awesome about it. That's why we are all students. We should always be committed to growing and learning and increasing in the knowledge of God. Because that's, you know, that's what it's all about. That is God's plan. We are His workmanship. So He's always working. And there's life in His Word. Amen? Life is in His Word. That's why we must have the Word of God going into us. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We want to see you grow because remember, Jesus has a vision to build the church, but His vision is to build the people. So we share that. So our mission, our vision is to build you. And I tell you, if we can build you, then the walls aren't big enough to contain all the people that are going to be touched and part of the harvest of God. Amen? So what is the next step for growth and discipleship? Well, the announcement was already made about the four-week foundation class that begins Wednesday night. I'm going to tell you, that is a lot of powerful material that is kind of shared in a small amount of time over the course of 4 weeks. So it's, you know, it's jam-packed. And I would encourage you, if you have not taken the West Point Foundation class, I would encourage you to participate in that. And it talks about a lot of things. And that's, you know, that's going to help you tremendously, especially if you're new to the faith. You know, if you are new to the faith, this is vitally important for you. Because you will grow in the Word of God. See, it's by the Word of God that we grow and increase in the things of God. Oh, thank you. I will need that. All right, so next step for growth and discipleship, four-week foundation class. This is something that is ongoing, by the way. So it's done periodically. You know, so I know many of you have taken that. If not, again, I encourage you to participate in it. If you can't attend for some reason, you know, maybe your work schedule or you might just not be able to make it on the Wednesday commitment. And it's only an hour long, by the way, 7 to 8 o'clock. Get a copy of it. Study it yourself because even by attending the class, you leave out of there, you're gonna want to go over that thing. And I mean, it's loaded with God's Word. And you will grow and learn some incredible things from the Word of God. All right, so then the next thing, all right, become a West Point Bible School student. We even have a sign over the back table there, the back center, West Point Bible School. This is an opportunity for you, my friends, to grow in your knowledge and in your understanding. You can see that we're working with a strategy. Becky presented a three-year strategy of children learning the Bible, where they are going to learn the Word of God. You would be surprised that, you know, stories that we are well familiar of, David and the giant, You know, Noah and the flood. You know, I mean, so many Bible stories that you and I may be familiar with because we learned them in Sunday school or we've been in church long enough. But think of how many people in the world don't even know about those things. They don't even know who David is. There's people on the street don't even know who Adam is, who Adam and Eve are. I mean, you know, with everything available to us, we would think that the culture would know those things. But my friends, they do not. And we are living in a biblically illiterate society. And it's, you know, we have to counter that. So when people come into the church, we have to train them, instruct them, give them the Word of God. So the next step, 4-week foundation class, after that, become a West Point Bible School student. And if you complete 5 Bible courses, I've eliminated one. I was going to make it 6, but we're going to include the foundation class as number 6. So complete 5 Bible courses. Then we will call you up in front of the church, acknowledge your accomplishment, award you with a diploma to graduate, and then believe God for how God is going to use you with the knowledge you have now received. Because when we get knowledge, then it becomes working knowledge. Amen? It becomes working knowledge. So complete 5 Bible courses to graduate with a Christian Workers Diploma. Now, here's the thing about our Bible college, and I have, thank you for bringing these up because I failed to grab these. But these are the first 2, and this is such an easy thing to do. All it is a question and answer. You read the question. It gives you the scripture verse. You go to the scripture. You read the scripture. And then you answer the question. You will be amazed of how much knowledge you will receive from doing just this simple thing. I'm telling you, when I became a born-again Christian in 1976, and somebody gave me these Keith Brooks books, and they were just little small workbooks, and it was just like this. It was a question, look up the verse of Scripture, and answer the question based upon what you read in that verse. And I am telling you, as a young believer, I grew in leaps and bounds. Man, I went through so many of those. I learned about the Holy Spirit. I learned the principles of salvation. I learned about Bible prophecy. I mean, I learned about stewardship. I mean, I learned about the kingdom. And all of that was simply doing those Bible studies. So the first one is the introductory Christian Worker Bible study number 1. Then after that, this is the second one, Christian Living number 1. All right, so once you complete one, you turn it in, and then you get the second one. And then once you get past those 2, then you move on to the Gospel of John. Then you move on to Christian Living 2. Then you move on to Bible Prophecy. Then you move on to Living in the Kingdom. And then after you complete those, then there's one elective that you will, and we'll have the list for that, you'll be able to select which one you want to do. All right, now here's the good news about this. How many of you know nothing in our world is free? Except this Bible school. Come on, somebody. You know something funny about this? I have been familiar with this program for quite a while. And I knew how cheap it was. So don't you know, when I make a decision to incorporate this into the church, the price triples? It did. It not only, it didn't double, it tripled. And I was like, ain't that just like the old devil? You know? But now I've made the presentation that it's free. So we're going to still provide it free. It's free. And that shows you how strongly we believe about this. Because if we can get the Word of God into people, the funds will take care of itself. The price will take it. We'll have the money. It won't, you know, it won't be any problem at all. We believe it is a worthy investment. So it's free. It's systematic. You work at your own pace. You're not attending a class with this. You know, you do this at home in your own time. So it does require a little discipline. You know, so it's there for you. And it's in your own church. You know, it's right here. You don't have to go away. You don't have to go somewhere to get this knowledge. It's right here at your disposal. So we encourage you, you know, take it, use it, let God bless you through it. Because we are on a mission to grow you. Because we know if we grow you, man, the church is going to thrive. The ministry is going to thrive. Supernatural things are going to happen because there's life in His Word. Come on, say it with me. There's life in His Word. Hallelujah. Jesus told us that. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen? He said, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done. Amen? There is life in His Word. All right. Here's number three. Next step. We got four. Next step for impact. Souls for the kingdom. We've already talked about this. You know, Jesus had a passion for the lost. He had a vision for the lost. I must reach the others. I must go to the other city. God wants us to have impact. Souls for the kingdom. We must make room for new friends. More ministry means greater impact. How many of you realize that's the truth? Amen? It means greater impact. We are believing God for great impact. And we are praying for new friends. We are constantly praying for the others. Those who are hurting. Those who are despondent. Those who are harassed, distressed. All of what Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. So we are excited to announce that on September 23rd, West Point Church will launch a 9 a.m. worship service. Praise God. So we will have greater opportunity. Amen. Greater responsibility, but greater impact for the kingdom of God. So there will be an additional service. Our 10:30 service time will remain the same, but we will now have two options that will give us the opportunity to touch more people. Now, again, those that do these church studies and put all these figures together, they say this: when a building reaches 70 to 80% occupancy, you stop growing. Well, we've had 110% occupancy in this building. I mean, I can't tell you how many times on a Sunday morning we've pulled out folding chairs to accommodate the people coming in. You know, so we get this, and I believe that it's accurate. You know, one thing that we cannot do, we cannot become stagnated, because stagnation stunts growth. And the kingdom of God is always expanding. Come on, somebody. Amen? The kingdom of God is always expanding. It's always growing. It's always increasing. So that 9 a.m. worship service is going to stretch us. It's going to stretch us. And we're going to need help. Amen. We're going to need prayer partners. We're going to need people saying, man, I want to do what I can to fulfill the vision. Now, we are going to invest some money into launching this additional service. And we're going to do some radio spots. And we are investigating a prime billboard to get for about a month or 2 months. Last time I priced one of those, it's about $2,500 a month. May even be more than that now. But we believe that that is going to help us, and radio spots are going to help us, because we are targeting the others. Amen. Say it with me. We're going after the others. Amen. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They need gospel impact. So as we, the people, grow, the kingdom grows. Amen. That's why we got to have a prayer culture working in the church. We got to have evangelism working in the church. We got to have leadership working in the church, because all of these things are necessary. All right, here's the fourth and final thing. What are the next steps? Here's the next one. It's a vision of transformed lives. A vision to see people changed. Hallelujah. Becky said 49 people. I had 39 in my mind somehow. But 49 people, including children, added to the membership today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. The others have come. Amen. The others have come. We are believing God for the others. Look at this verse of Scripture. Man, this is a great verse. Acts chapter 19. Here's the last verse I'm going to give you today, because we're going to conclude, and we're going to bring the children out shortly as they begin a new school year, talking about the next generation, and we're going to pray over them today. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 19, verse 20. It says, "Thus the word of the Lord concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God grew and spread and intensified, prevailing mightily." That's our word. That is what I am believing God for. That is what I am constantly praying for. God, pour out of your Spirit. We want to see transformed lives. And right here, it happened in the local church. The word of God concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom grew, it spread, it intensified, and it prevailed. And on this Vision Sunday, that is my heart, that is my passion, that is what I am believing God for, and I know that it is going to happen. Hallelujah. So my friends, we need you to gather in the harvest, because where there's people, vision increases. So will you help us build momentum? Will you become a prayer partner? Will you help us welcome new people? Will you commit to attending both services to get it off the ground? Will you help us grow and develop the baby? Because it takes sacrifice. So we have got to be people that pray. Amen? Be a prayer partner with us. Pray for us. We are attempting big things for God. We are attempting to grow people. And we know that there's going to be roadblocks, and there's going to be setbacks, and there's going to be obstacles, and you know, there's going to be challenges, and there's going to be things that need to be worked through. But we are believing God, because our heart is to see transformed lives, because that, my friends, was the vision of Jesus Christ. Amen? And the awesome thing about it, He's called all of us to be a part of it. He's called all of us to be a part of it. So will you help us build momentum? Will you make a commitment as much as you can to attend both services? Now listen, the early service, the 9 o'clock service, you know, it's going to be short. It's going to be an hour. That's it. You know, my goal is to have that final amen at 10 o'clock, because we got to be able to release the early church and bring in the later church. I don't know if that's a good terminology or not, but I think you understand what the early risers will get, the latecomers. So we're going to need you. So pray with us. Make a commitment. Help us to welcome new people and to get it off the ground. So we start, you know, September. What was the date I said? September 23rd. I was thinking 22nd for some reason. September 23rd. And, you know, so then we got October, November, December. And we are believing God for a harvest. Because we must do what we can while there is yet time. Jesus said that, right? He said, I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can worship. Listen, God didn't send you here by accident. He sent you here to build you. To build you. Maybe he sent you here to rebuild you. Amen? We read in the book of Ephesians that we are recreated in Jesus Christ.